Well, the state of New York has added members of the Sackler family to its lawsuit against Purdue Pharma. That's the maker of OxyContin. That announcement came just days after Purdue and the Sacklers, who own Purdue Pharma, agreed to pay $270 million to the state of Oklahoma. Over the past two decades, more than 200,000 people have died from prescription opioids alone. The U.S. is struggling to contain addiction, and it's even tougher for many people fighting addiction in jails across the country. Some states are funding an alternative system of justice in drug courts. The idea is to offer repeat offenders a chance at treatment instead of prison. In New Hampshire, advocates say they're starting to reduce the number of people with addiction who are re-offending. New Hampshire Public Radio's Sarah Gibson reports.
All righty, Mom, is the food done yet?
Not yet.
31-year-old Natasha Davis juggles a lot these days. She lives with her mom, raises three kids, and trains to be a drug recovery coach. Tonight, she's running out the door to an AA meeting.
Where's my keys? All right, Mom. I love you. You heard? I love you.
A year ago, life was different here. Davis was addicted to opioids, and to pay for them, she was committing crimes.
A little bit of everything. Drug dealing, selling women, robbing people.
Davis racked up dozens of charges over the years and spent months at the county jail. She overdosed a few times, tried rehab 8 times, but she kept going back.
I really wanted to stop using. Like, there were times where I was in the bathroom with a needle in my neck and a crack pipe right next to me, just crying in the mirror, begging God to help me. Like, why can't I stop? But I couldn't do it. I could not do it on my own.
Then came an arrest last year during a drug sting. Davis is now facing state prison time. She got one last chance, drug court.
So the idea with drug court is to break the cycle.
That's Judge Jacqueline Colburn. She helped start the drug court in Nashua, New Hampshire, around 5 years ago. She was sick of seeing people like Davis cycle through jail and prison where they didn't get the help they needed.
The reality is when they're released back to the same community, the same situation. Their skill set is no greater than it was when they went in, and they will continue to do that which they know how to do.
In drug court, participants get treatment and community supervision. The program lasts about 2 years, and it's divided into phases.
So if you're a phase one participant, your life is pretty much 24/7 drug court.
Participants spend hours each day in mandatory group and individual therapy. They have random curfew checks and urine tests multiple times a week. And they have to check in with the drug court team and the rest of participants on Tuesdays. After that, it can be years more of probation.
I'm state property, basically.
But if she completes the program, Davis doesn't have to go to prison. At the beginning, Davis learned the two rules of drug court. Show up and be honest no matter what.
Drug court doesn't like to be lied to, especially Judge Colburn. Do not lie to Judge Colburn or Nellie. Nellie especially.
Nellie is the probation officer. Another person on the drug court team you shouldn't lie to, Lieutenant Brian Kenny. He's in charge of narcotics at the Nashua Police. Kenny and his officers keep tabs on all the drug court participants. He says many struggle at first with telling the truth to cops.
To be honest, I don't even expect it in the beginning. I expect it not to occur if we're getting the right people into drug court. It's supposed to be the most high-risk offenders that we have, you know, and that's high risk of reoffending and high risk, frankly, of overdosing.
In the first phase of drug court, it's expected you'll have a relapse. That happened to Davis, but she got help and stayed in drug court. Her urine tests were clean for 5 months. Then she tested positive for a prohibited substance. That's why she's back in court. Davis heads into the courtroom with about 10 other women. There's a table set up in the middle where a team of social workers, cops, a public defender, and recovery coaches sit with Judge Colburn. Participants join the table one by one to talk about how they're doing. This accountability to community, it's a big part of why people say drug court works. With one woman, the team believes she's relapsed, but she's denying it, which gets eye rolls from other participants. Another woman, Davis's former drug dealer, is about to graduate. Then it's Davis's turn.
All right, Natasha, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Better?
Better. What's that mean?
Davis says she's been depressed, but she's getting help at the recovery center. Then they get down to business. Davis explains to Judge Colburn that the urine test was positive because some cold medicine she was taking contained a banned ingredient. Colburn gives Davis a warning, no punishment.
So bump in the road this week around the cold medicine.
Yeah.
Right. So when I read the report, I was sort of surprised because I thought, wow, Natasha is so smart and she knows what's on the do not take list.
Davis tells me later, this kind of thing makes her feel like a teenager, but she gets it. And there's positive affirmation here, too, for volunteering at a recovery center and for not relapsing during a depression.
So despite having to come in on your unscheduled week, it's not all bad, right? So advice to your peers.
Don't take cold medicine.
The people in this room believe in drug court. Many have dedicated their life to it. Others say they owe their life to it. But not everyone's on board. Lieutenant Kenny says he was a skeptic at first. And many officers think people who do drugs are just going to commit crimes and should be behind bars.
These are folks that you did a lot of hard work on to place under arrest and to get into the court system to solve whatever problem was occurring in the city. And now they're just back in the community? How is this possible?
But the numbers swayed Kenny. Drug courts typically cost less than half of what it costs to incarcerate people. And national data says they reduce the amount of people who reoffend by at least a third. There are now 10 drug courts in New Hampshire. The question is how well they work in the long run. The Nashua Drug Court, along with others in the state, will be tracking people once they've graduated from drug court to see what happens 3 years down the road. For Here and Now, I'm Sarah Gibson.